Okay. This is Wednesday evening, 2:15, 23. Near 33:33. The title of the I'm echoing. It is a little bit loud. Yeah, it's a little bit loud.
At first you weren't.
Thank you, Lord. All right, thank you. All right, the title of this is called A Tale of Three Women, so it's going to be interesting. I want to give credit to Neville Johnson for my inspiration for this teaching. He started speaking about one of the parables of Jesus, and something just dropped in me. I just listened to a few minutes of it, but I started studying kind of and come up with some interesting things. So Neville Johnson was a prophet, and way back 4 or 5 years ago, I think he passed away, I want to say 2020, September 2020. Anyway, and I don't know if he's Canadian. I've heard people say, well, he was English, but he didn't really have that strong English accent. But he taught about the kingdom. He was the first person I ever heard bring up the kingdom age, the coming kingdom age. And that's when the Lord had been speaking to me about a new era coming and a new, you know, I didn't know where to put the name on it to what, you know. And when he said that, I just thought, that's it. So anyway, so, all right, let's look at Matthew 13. Starting with verse 33. In another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I looked up, you know, leaven. Now, this is just my thinking. Jesus was a riddler. You remember the Batman, riddle me this? He was a riddler. That's what a parable is. It's like it's a riddle or a mystery. It's something that you have to search for the answer. Yeah? Okay. We also find this same parable in Luke 13. Very same. But the word leaven there means ferment. It says as if boiling up. That's what ferment does. So it's as a woman that added leaven to 3 measures of meal. Let me read that again. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. What's the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of God. The kingdom that was given to us. All right. Just keep that in your thinking. All right. I also looked up measures. It just says a certain measure of things. As I was thinking about this, the Lord quickened to me the 3 city states. The 3 city states are significant because they are where everything from the whole world stems off of, the military, the financial, and the spiritual. All right, and heaven, it just means the sky, the firmament. Genesis 1:8 says God named the firmament heaven. You want to look at that? Let's just look at it. All right, this is 1:8. God called the firmament heaven. There it is, black and white. All right. Leavened, caused to ferment. Well, I've done some fermenting, and what it did was you left whatever it was out, and it began to sour. You leave it out, and you don't mess with it. You put it in a jar, and is it, I don't know if it has vinegar in it. Most just water, like vegetables. You'll put it in there, and it'll soak in the water. And before you know it, it ferments. It's like wine ferments, grapes that ferment. Okay. All right, the leaven, the rising up, caused the whole kingdom of heaven to be infiltrated, to boil up. Leaven. As a woman took leaven in three measures of meal. Now, this is a parable. This isn't a literal woman putting, you know, ferment in dough. This is not what Jesus spoke in parables. And it said he didn't speak to anybody in anything but parables, but only those that understood, had spiritual understanding, could discern what he was talking about. All right. My thought was the frog in the kettle. That's how they did it. The frog in the kettle. Over, you know, it's going to gradually heat up over time and cook the frog, and he doesn't even know what's going on. And this is what's happened around us. Absolutely, totally. There's people all around us. There's frogs in kettles. They don't have a clue of what's going on. They won't look at anything. They don't want to hear anything. They just go on as business as usual. And I'm telling you, business isn't as usual. The whole lump has been leavened. The whole lump. All right? Was Jesus telling us about the three city states? I believe so. Washington, D.C., London City, and the Vatican. D.C. is the military arm. The Vatican is the spiritual arm. Didn't say Christian spiritual. It's spiritual, though. Demonic spiritual. And then London City is the financial. The three biggest things that everything runs off of right now, what we live under. All right? This is the first woman. Here's the second one, Revelation 2. Verse 18. Well, this is a little different, but I'm telling you. Yeah. 18. This is Jesus talking to John. And he's writing down what he's going to send to the churches. And unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I know Dake says this is a literal woman, but I don't know. It could be, but I think it's the spirit. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. I believe it's the system. Behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Isn't this what we're going through right now? I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. We were never to be part of the three city states. We were supposed to be a city on a hill. Totally different, totally independent. Yeah, Matt, this is Matthew 5 here, Matthew 5. 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle or put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. That's, you know, Jesus is addressing John about the churches. They are candlesticks. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, we're supposed to be above something that stands out as a bright light against this darkness. Through the parables, Jesus was telling us everything. He did not disclose it openly, but talked in riddles, so only those that were spiritual had ears to hear. See, they could discern it. All right? Here's what a parable is. A similitude, a symbol of something else. Who else in this great awakening is talking to us in riddles or parables to keep us researching and discerning the times? Q. Q. I believe Q is God using this at this time to awaken his people. All right? Q always poses no answers, but only questions. Not to tell you how to think, but to think for yourself. Sheep no longer. Getting people thinking, See, that's what wakes people up. That's what gets them, you just pose a question to them and they start thinking, yeah, you're right. We're not here to tell people what to think. Those that have ears to hear. I believe that Q is a God operation, just like Kim Clement talked about Q&A. Yeah. The Spirit is saying, come out. He's talking to the church to come out. Instead, the church has decided to adapt. Right here, I wrote this down. They follow the world system in their services, worshiptainment. They look like the world, mimic the world in their music, etc., dress like the world, anything goes. They're trying to follow after the world, to copy the world, instead of being a candlestick, a light on a hill, for the most part. God has a plan, but they do not hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He's saying, come out. All right, Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. It sounds like Thyatira, doesn't it? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. So strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. See, judgment's going to begin at the house of God first. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat. And beasts and goats, sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand far off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And this is the Vatican right here. The bishops wear purple. The cardinals wear red. Have you ever seen one that wasn't decked out and all those jewels around their neck? Jewels on their headpieces and everything? See, the Catholic Church, I can remember from being even in elementary school, I had a friend that was Catholic, and I always remembered she couldn't eat fish on Friday, all this BS. And how corrupt the church is. The pedophilia, they talk about how much of the priesthood is gay. Well, of course, they're pedophiles, a lot of them. So this is this rogue church, this Jezebel spirit at work in the religious arm of the three city states. And it's infiltrated the whole church. You just think, oh, the Catholic Church stood for the most holiest thing. I always thought, why is it always such a big deal? For in one hour so great riches come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? Just think about when people find out what these religious institutions have been doing that we thought were wonderful and great and doing mighty things, and they're pedophiles, and they're doing all God knows what. There's going to be some people really disillusioned. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is likened to this great city? So they all, a lot of them have been on the take all this time. Thought, we'll never get caught. And they cried, cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, ye holy apostles and prophets. Yay, yay! God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The love of money is the root to all evil. And this is what all of this is about, money. There's a reason why they had 15 miles. I forget how how tall of gold hidden under the Vatican in a tunnel that reaches all the way to Jerusalem to the Khazarian group, the elites, the bloodline families that sabotaged and killed all the Jews out and took their place. Yeah. It's all a big lie, a big sham, and it's going to be no more. It's all going to be exposed, every bit of it. See, Jesus was telling us in the parables about these things. They were around when he was around. He dealt with them every day, probably the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He called them vipers, dead men's bones. Yeah, he knew what they were. Okay, here's the second. That was the second woman. Here's the third one. This is Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore, which sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Here we are again with the bishops and the cardinals, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a gold cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here's the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads, or seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Rome. There are seven kings, five are fallen. One is, the other is not yet. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Do you know that all the nations of the world colluded to push this genocide vaccine on people to kill them? The whole earth. U.S. included. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is the seventh and goeth into perdition. The 10 horns that thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen few. Now, right now, at present time, from what I understand, they've taken out the Vatican and they've taken out London. The only one left is the military-industrial complex. That's why the Battle of Armageddon. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, and to the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over all the kings of the earth. All right. Jesus is talking to John about the churches of Asia. He threatens to take away their candlestick, you know, the lighthouse. A city on a hill, if they don't straighten up and do what he commissioned them to do. Right here, this is Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Like I've taught before, he's overseeing his churches. Don't you think for a minute he isn't, and don't you think for a minute he does not see what's going on. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Sounds pretty straightforward, and that's what I'm going to do. Things have not changed since Jesus walked here and taught using the parables. He told us what we needed to know. We just didn't know until this present time, which I guess we didn't need to know until this present time. All right, Mark chapter 8. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not yet? Neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments ye took up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? He's trying to tell them, beware of these wicked leaders that say they all the right things and do all the right things, but they're not of me. They have no part in me. That's what he was trying to warn them about, not about bread. He said, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I mean, you see it in when you get on social media. Everyone is looking over here. Oh, the balloons. Oh. I saw a meme. It shows a person, his eyes are, you know, like this. Here's the COVID right in front of his face. And then here's the UFOs right in front of his face. And here's something else right in front of his face. And here's something else right in front of his face. And he's just do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's the way people are. They don't really know what's going on. They're not discerning anything that's happening. All they see is the fear. Look here, not here. Look over here. I heard something today that really makes me, after talking to Helen, and here they're around 100 miles away from what's happening, and there's no news coverage. They didn't even know about it. I think it's made up. It's staged. So we'll see what happens. All right, 1 Corinthians 5, 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that once you leave have his father's wife, and you're puffed up and have not rather mourned, that they that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. This is leaven. Well, we don't want to hurt their feelings. You know, so what, they're gay? We don't want to hurt their feelings. So what, they're a transgender? Just accept them the way they are. Mm-hmm. But verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath no deed done this deed. Now you see why the apostles are needed. They keep things decently and in order. What happens when they're not in their places? They're going to be like those Jesus said that say they're apostles and are not. They say they are, but where are they? Well, they didn't want me there. You better got to suck it up, I'm telling you. You got to obey God. Man has not called. God has called. And I'll tell you what, when God calls, we better answer the call, whether we're accepted or not. I'm telling you what, if I had to go by that, I wouldn't be doing nothing. Who cares what anybody thinks? If God has called you and he's given you a word or a message or whatever he's given to you, you best obey him. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan. Oh, we don't want to hurt their feelings. No, you deliver them to Satan. Why? Keep them out of hell. Say, this isn't acceptable. Your little bit of this. I'm telling you, I was on a church staff that happened to. Whole church started feeling like they wanted to commit adultery. Tempted to commit adultery because one of the ministers had got into adultery with somebody he counseled. And it was going like gangrene through the whole church. This is how it happens. Well, I won't get any tithes if I tell them they can't come. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Well, she's closer to his age than you know. You hear all the excuses? I know someone today. Well, no, she's passed away. But this woman started out knowing that homosexuality was wrong. But because her daughter became a homosexual, she over time confirmed them, even wrote a book about Christians accepting homosexuals and how... See, that's how it leavens the whole lump. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Your glorying's not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Don't take much, does it? Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. There's a reason in the old covenant why, when they did what they did, when they broke one of the commandments, they stoned them to death. It was to keep the leaven out. That's why they went in and they killed these Nephilim descendants. Because what would they do? They'd marry their kids and they'd infiltrate. And before you know it, they were acting just like them. That was Israel's biggest problem. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You know, there used to be in the church, there was holiness. The holiness movement, remember, what everybody made fun of, the holy rollers? Well, there's a reason, because they were holy. Some house cleaning is needed in the churches today. Time to hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. Paul cautioned us, Galatians chapter 5. This will be my last passage here. He said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, this is going back to where another part of leaven trying to bring the church back under the law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. See, if you go back under the law, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Which one are you under? Somebody tries to pull that junk on you, you can say, well, you're going back under the law. I want to stay under grace. Show them the scripture. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. We live under a totally different covenant. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It's that leaven. The leaven is the whole lump. You get to hanging with that bunch. Before you know it, you'll be acting like them. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? And it goes on to talk about those. We won't have to go into that. This is something that just, we got to know if something tries to slip in. If you're hearing what the Spirit's saying and following the Spirit and not the flesh, then you won't be taken in with the leaven. All right? Okay.